We're doing the Drushot HaRamban. We're up to the second Drush, and we had learned last week about the eternal balance that exists in the world, that if Esav is up, we are down, and if we are up, they are down. And this went back to the question about why God loves Yaakov, and Esav, whenever he can, wants to put Yaakov down. Esav's claim is, I'm the inheritor. I'm the chosen people. There's no reason you should be on top. So Esav always wants to put us down. And the only time Esav can come up is because we go down. If we go up, so then the only way we could go up is if Esav is out of the way. So Hashem, so to speak, puts him down. It's by default. It's not that we put him down. Esav, when he climbs up, puts us down. But we have no goal in putting him down. It's just like a default thing that happens. That's what we had discussed last week. And now, the Ran continues, Zehu, the paragraph begins with Zehu, page Nun Tet in the Mosad Hav Kook edition, page Chaf Bet in the Shalem edition, and Lamed Bet in the Meshor edition. Zehu ma sheyamshichu, elu ha-ta'amim ha-tzodkim. This is what causes what causes this fact in the world that Esav and Yaakov are like a seesaw. One is up, the other is down. They can't both be up at the same time. These reasons that are just, that are correct, what I've said before, v'antatzit katan, and the proof that they're right, masherinu nimshach min amtziut. You see, it's a fact of life. Look around. You see that's the way the world works. U'mashiyadu anvi'im namshachatu. And the fact that the prophets prophesized that this is the way it will be for eternity. It's not going to change. This constant conflict between Esav and Yaakov. This is the way God created the world. V'zeo shamar ha-katuv, and that's why the verse says in the Torah, V'eilu ha-mlachim asher malachu be'eretz Edom, lifnei melech melech livnei Yisrael. The following kings, eight kings, ruled in Edom before the Jews had a king, before Moshe came onto the scene. V'lamu tzach lichtov lifnei melech melech. Why does the Torah have to tell us the following eight kings ruled in Edom before the Jews had a king? Im lo leodia, if not to let us know, ki mitzad shebayamim hem in melech liYisrael, that the idea is, because during that period the Jews had no king, malach melech be'edom, so then Edom could have a king. Ki lutza lecha amlucha biYisrael, because had there been a successful kingship in Israel, lo malach melech be'edom, then the Edomites would not have had a king. Kasher nireh, ashosar malchutam, bekum melech biYisrael, as we see that their throne was removed once there was a king in Israel. Ki David ekim aleihem netzivim. We know that David established governors over the Edomites. Ve'lo niach lehem melachim. David didn't let them have their kings. Ve'nimshach, and this situation that the Edomites did not have a king, that continued ad zman Yehoshaphat, through the reign of the Judean king Yehoshaphat, kmo shekatuv biyamav, as it says in Yehoshaphat's time, u'melech en be'edom nitzav melech. There wasn't a king in Edom yet. Now, the second the Tanakh tells us there wasn't a king, what the Tanakh is also telling us is that the Jews were still on top. As we approach the decline of the Jews towards the destruction of the first temple, we will see how Edom is on its way up. And that's really what happens. The prophet tells us, as we get destroyed, Tzor goes up. And we said Tzor is a reference to all of Edom.
How does Edom end up as Rome?
Good question. Let's give the Ran some time to explain. And then if we don't have a good enough answer by the time we finish this speech, remind me, we'll try to get back to that.
What's the question, sir?
How do we say Edom is Rome?
Ve'nimshach ze. We say so. Are you saying so?
It's the overall? Let's wait and see. Ve'nimshach ze ad yemei Yoram. In this situation, that Edom only had a nitzav melech, they only had a governor who played the role of king, but they didn't really have a king. Continued through the days of Yehoshaphat's son, when Yehoram was king. Asher lechetov ve'lechto acharei bet achav. But when Yehoram, the Judean king, he went after the house of Achav, he was married with them, he was family with them, and then he started going in their ways, going in the pagan ways of the northern tribes. Katubo, so then the Navi testifies in his days, Biyamav, in the days of Yehoram, who followed the pagan ways of Ahav, Pasha Edom mitacht yad Yehuda, the Edomites rebelled from under the hand of Judea, vayimlichu aleh melech, and then they had a king. So as we approach the end of the period of the first temple, as the Jews are in decline, Edom is on the rise. Vayugam ken melachim ad galot haaretz, and they continued having kings till we were exiled. Ki ken katuv. That's what the verse says. From that day onward, Edom was on top. Because we never again attained a state of righteousness that Edom should not have kings. During the period of the second temple, the Edomites were subservient to Israel. Hyrcanus, the king in the period of the second temple, he made, David Ezra also quotes this, he took Edomites to watch Jerusalem and he forced them to circumcise. And in the days of Agrippas, when Jerusalem was taken over, so the battalions of Edom came to help us. Which is again, the Rishonim refer to this, that we have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde relationship with Edom. There are periods when Edom is very compassionate, they're very nice to us, they help us out, and then suddenly it could change. Suddenly they're very cruel to us. It goes back and forth, just like Esav and Yaakov. There are, Esav comes and hugs him and kisses him and tells him, I'll leave my men with you. And that's already the prototypical relationship between Esav and Yaakov. There are the moments when Esav is very nice. He offers his help. He hugs. He kisses. And even then, we're not sure—is he kissing or is he biting? What's he doing?
Didn't his neck have to become all hard and stuff? Because
so that's
like a vampire will bite his neck.
That's one opinion in Chazal, right? We already see from all of this. Whenever Hashem put us up, Edom was subservient to us. And when we were removed from our fortified strength from the city of Jerusalem because of our sin, and then they erected their own idols up on the Temple Mount, Chagar Edom boz motnav, Edom, so to speak, girdled with strength, he girdled himself, because our sages already taught us, Heyotenu begalut Edom, this exile is called the exile of Edom. Avichael, what's the next line? Ki im heyot asher romi hamachzevet rahavenu. And even though right now, the one who's haughty over us, the one who's ruling over us and beating us is Rome. Oh, you're missing this line?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, you have it?
No.
Maybe the censors took it out of yours.
Probably it is here. I just missed.
Ki im heyot, here, the top of page Chaf Gimel. Ki im heyot, asher romi hamachzevet rahavenu. All these lines, I'm not taking the time to explain which psukim he's making a play on words on, but every line here is a play on words from psukim. Meaning the last line was a mix of psukim from Daniel and Yoshua. And every line here is really borrowing verses. And if we were learning more in depth, we'd have to wonder, we'd have to open up the text and figure out, is he giving us a secret pshat in those psukim by borrowing those words? Is it just poetic form that he's borrowing verses from psukim? This also, Rahavim Shavet, that's a description of Mitzrayim. I don't know why he's using it for Rome. Him nichlal Eretz Yavan, Rome is really part of the greater territory of Greek. So Rome is really a derivative of Greek. And so, of the Greek Empire. So why do we call them Edom? We say this exile is the Edomite exile. Good question, Avichael, right? Kmo shetirgem Unklus v'tzim miyad kitim. Just as Unklus explained last week's parsha, when Bilam said v'tzim miyad kitim, what does Unklus tell us? What is Bilam talking about? V'siyan di istacharan meromai. And then they're still going to come out. The battalions will come out from Rome. And that's the Unklus is revealing to us that the word kitim is Rome. Vitzim, that's a battalion, the forces that come out. Miyad kitim, from the place of Rome. V'chitim u'chad mibnei Yavan. And we know When we read the Torah, if you go back to Bereishis, it says one of Yavon's children was named Kitin. That means that Yavon was the father. His descendants composed the Greek Empire. One of his descendants was Kitin. And so we know that Rome is a descendant of the father of the Greek Empire, Yavan. In Kolze, nonetheless, meaning we have a problem. We're saying Rome is Edom. And Rome is nothing to do with Edom, technically, because we know the genealogy from the Torah, and the genealogy has nothing to do with Edom.
Maybe it's a spiritual concept.
Oh. In Kolze, so nonetheless, says the Ran, even though technically the nation is not Edom, Melachei Asher Malchu Bah Ayu Edomiim, the kings that ruled over them were from Edom, Vayu B'tocham Edom Amchav, and they had a great mass of people from Edom. Kmo She'amar Amtargem, just as the Targum says in Eicha, Pakad Avoneich Bat Edom Gila Al Chatotayich. God says, I will take you to task over your sins, daughter of Edom. I'll reveal your sins. What does the Targum say? As'ar avitaych romi reshia. I will take you to task over your sins, Rome. The Targum tells us in Eicha that when we discuss Bat Edom, the Targum tells us that's Rome. Reshia, the wicked one, dimitbania beitalia, that was built in Italy, Umalia uchlusem ibnei Edom, and they are filled with people from Edom. So even though technically you'll say, wait a second, they're Greeks, they're Romans, what does that have to do with Edom? So we have on tradition that Edom migrated to that territory.
At what point?
I don't know. This is what we've seen has happened to us over history with Edom. Ki be'etziv Hashem itbarach mateu zeinu mate yado. Be'etziv Hashem itbarach Mata ozeinu, mata yado, or mate ozeinu. Uveshifleinu, bedabreinu retet, gavar ad leashchit. When Hashem established the strength, our strength, as though we are the staff of His strength, so we're the staff of His hand. Hashem strengthened us, so then we overpowered them. When we were put down, we spoke improperly. We didn't do what we were supposed to do, so then they overpowered us to the point of near extinction. And this is where we're building from. We began by discussing why does Hashem love us. We went on to explain the verse in Hosea that seems to compare us, the verse in Malachi that compares us with Edom. We said, well, how does that define our love? We went on to explain why is it that when Edom's up, we must be down. When we're up, they must be down. And now he continued in today's learning. He explained how we see historically that this is the way it's been. They were up, we were down. And he also explained to us, how do we get to this point that Edom is Rome? Bezachem, we'll move forward in the coming weeks.
Very interesting.